InLink Trolls, we did a top five countdown list. Axe Theater is number one. It's the most haunted location in Lake Charles that we personally have investigated. It has the most activity repeatedly. We get the most repeated or redundant answers. Several names in that location.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder, and we're excited to bring you another episode with the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools that you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
And that itinerary is getting pretty long because This is now episode 54.
Woo!
And we've got a lot more than that from our special episodes as well, but 54 numbered episodes. The newest guest on the show will be our Spirit Guide Tours, Marcus and Amanda. They're at Spirit Guides LC. Boy, that's a fun conversation we had with them.
Yes, it is. A little eye-opening and maybe not what you expect going into it.
Yeah, for sure. And look, we do have a special request at the end of the episode, what we want you guys to do. So if you can, when the episode's done, wait for the close, and we've asked you each to do a little something for us, if you could. That should be pretty fun. So if you would stay until then, listen to that and do what we ask, please. That'd be cool.
Listen to every second that we have this terrific episode for you. But we're going to begin the show, as we always do, with a taste of Southwest Louisiana.
A segment we call On V Eats. This week, we head to a new restaurant here in Lake Charles at Salt Revival Oyster Company. We typically don't do a lot of newer restaurants here on the show because we want you to really get a taste of what Lake Charles has to offer. But with the background of the restaurant, we know this is going to be a place that will have a lot of staying power here in the city.
Yes, for sure. I mean, anytime that you feature seafood, especially locally sourced seafood here in Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana, then you can expect to have a line out the door and be a really popular fixture in this area.
And I really love the story. David Sorrells and Ben Herrera came together to create this restaurant that really is based off of the new AOC Park, which is the Cameron Alternative Oyster Culture Park in Cameron Parish. We'll get to them here in just a second. But as far as this restaurant, they showcase a menu of locally sourced seafood. We're talking oysters, crab, and then whatever a fresh catch, like today was a snapper when we went. And from appetizers like ceviche, they've got oysters prepared in a multitude of different ways. They have pasta and pork belly, a lot of different things that really elevate your dining experience into what you can kind of imagine seafood being in some instances.
Yeah, and they've got, of course, you know, cocktails. They've got a great bar, cocktails, craft beers, a really fun atmosphere that celebrates our culinary options that we have here, our heritage. Absolutely. Here in Southwest Louisiana. So a really fun spot.
And not to get too deep in it, but this oyster culture that they cultivate those oysters from, they ultimately grow their own oysters, and they do them in cages to have consistency, because oftentimes when it comes to harvesting, you're at the mercy of nature, and sometimes you get more better harvest, sometimes you don't. So they created this oyster farm in Cameron Parish, and they sell locally to numerous restaurants, one of which is Salt Revival. And in fact, the visionaries behind the AOC Park, they want to create a holistic oyster experience, if you will, for the public. So in the future, they want to do things like becoming a public destination. They want to offer tours at some point, immersive tastings, and they really want people to see the journey from the Gulf to the table and foster appreciation for this ecosystem that we have here that supports so many communities. Now, let's get to the food, though. And of course, I'll start with the oysters, since seafood is not really your game.
Yes, go ahead with the oysters. I just can't take part. I just can't.
We wanted to get them all three ways that they offered. In fact, there was a fourth baked, but we didn't choose that one. We went with the char-grilled, raw, and fried, and each one offered a significantly different flavor, which was honestly a lot of fun because of it. So let's start with the raw. They're hand-raised oysters. They come with four sauces, which I've never seen before. I've gotten raw oysters at a number of restaurants. They come with four sauces there: a homemade verde hot sauce, a mignonette, which is like shallots and pepper with some vinegar. It's a vinegar-based sauce. Very, very good. Cocktail sauce and horseradish. And it was really good flavor and the consistency and texture. And I think there's really something behind the farm-raised oysters. Mm-hmm. I, I could really, I don't know, I could tell a difference. Maybe it's placebo effect, but it really felt different than other raw oysters I've had. Mm-hmm. It was so pure and it tasted fresh and it was great on a cracker. I put a little hot sauce on it as well. And
Of course you did.
And one of them, I did the hot sauce and mignonette combo. It was all very, very good.
Yeah, you could just taste that it's fresh. That it came from somewhere close and quickly, right?
I could. And my favorite way to have oysters is char-grilled. And mm-hmm. so we made sure to get that. That comes with a house herb butter, a Romano cheese on it, and then some house bread as well. And it's so simple because there's not many ingredients on it. But it carries that cheese and the butter, garlic elevates the oyster to another level. And it's warm, which I much prefer a warm to cold, which is why I do like the char-grilled better. The smell is so incredible too. And so it's my favorite way to have oysters, and it knocked it out of the park. I loved it. Once again, a couple dabs of hot sauce there on top. And then the fried oysters were the most unique way I've ever had oysters.
Yeah.
So they did their fried oysters, crispy, of course, and they serve it kind of, I'll call it nacho style. What I mean by that is, so all your oysters are out, and they'll have some pepper jelly with it. There was cowboy candied jalapenos. There was buttermilk dressing in the middle to dip it in, and then crumbles of blue cheese on the outside too. So you get like a bunch of different flavors. I mean, it really nails the salty from the oyster, the spicy from the jalapenos, and then the sweet from that pepper jelly.
A charcuterie board.
And it was really
fried oysters.
Cool way to have it. And I've never had oysters quite like that before. And it was very, very good. So all three ways to have oysters, all three knocked it out of the park. So honestly, when you go, it's a dealer's choice because they're all really good and unique.
Yeah, I kind of can't go wrong with it. Absolutely. In any way. So I got the crab campanelle pasta. I'm not a huge seafood girl, right? I'm much prefer like meat and potatoes, things covered in cheese.
Country girl.
Yeah. So, but the blue crab campanelle pasta was really, really good. It doesn't have that overwhelming seafood, the bad quality that you can get from a seafood dish. It was so fresh. The crab was in perfectly bite-sized pieces. It wasn't too like big of chunks in it. It had peas in it and this amazing cheese, kind of a, I don't know, a cream of sauce, right? A cream sauce, but not heavy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't thick. It wasn't like sauce galore where it's hiding everything else that's inside the pasta at all. It was really good. It was fresh tasting. The crab tasted fresh. The peas were this perfect, I don't know, perfect little snap, if you will.
They were firm but soft.
Yes, they were firm. I don't know. I really liked them. They added just the perfect texture to the pasta that I wasn't really expecting. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that. But the sauce overall, really delicious. It amplified the crab without overpowering it. And it elevated the entire dish. And the pasta itself, the campanelle pasta, it is like from afar. You'd look at it and you'd think it's like a rotini noodle. But it's actually, I mean, think of a flat pastry that's like rolled up almost. And it's got kind of like the ribbon-like edge to it. I don't know. It's the perfect pasta for something like this because it holds all the sauce inside it, right? So every bite, really good. In fact, it's going to feed me twice. The rest of it is going to feed me again tomorrow.
The best food.
Yeah.
The best food is the ones that get you through twice.
Yep.
Well, that was the appetizer because we did split all those oysters with a few people. So it's not like I pulled down 18, 18 oysters, three dozen.
Sure you did.
Three half dozen. So, I also got the smoked pork belly. Yeah. I just wanted you to sit there for a second.
Just breathe that in.
it came with three good pork belly chunks on the plate, and they were cooked perfect on top of a plate of thyme grits. So it's the pork belly, goat cheese thyme grits. There's an onion jam on top and a light mustard cream. Not super heavy. It was very light across. And you once again, they nailed multiple things, salt and salty and savory, and it was so good. The pork belly was so tender. I used a fork.
Yeah.
try cutting pork with a fork.
No knife needed.
No knife needed. And oh man, there was so much flavor from the fat from the pork belly and how it shined with the grits. I dabbed a hot sauce on a couple little pieces. Just trying different things. Mm-hmm. And it was all so good. But the pork belly and, like I said, the fat really elevated it. And it was just so indulgent.
That's what people say about me. Brady has a note down here that says, the fat shines. And all I can think is, oh, yeah, I hope that's what people say about me.
It elevates the flavor and it adds to the texture. And it was just a really cool way to have the pork belly was just very, very good, and having it on the grits. I love grits, and the goat cheese added a unique flavor to it. It was very, very good.
Yeah. Overall, this entire experience is our first time going here, our first time at the restaurant, and just a really great experience.
Very clean.
Overall.
It's a very open feel. It's clean. It's nice. It's new. And, you know, it's going to be a restaurant that's going to have a lot of staying power here because of all of the things they do, when at the end of the day, the focus of the restaurant and what they've built it around is fresh, locally sourced seafood. They're going to be successful because of that. And and we left very impressed with ultimately everything that we had. And the location is also very convenient.
For sure.
Just down Ryan Street, off the 210 loop, and then just a couple minutes at the most, 30 seconds. Depending on the red lights, McNeese.
It's minutes away from anywhere. So if you're coming to town for something that's downtown, you know, like at the event center, or if you're coming in for, you know, a day on the lake or in Cameron Parish even, I mean, it's smack dab in the middle and the heart of, you know, Lake Charles in the busiest areas. And I feel like it's also for the locals, it's kind of like on everyone's way home.
Yeah, you're no more than probably 10 or 15 minutes at the most away from it at any place in town.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth a stop, and I know we'll be going there again.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Marcus Beebe and Amanda Yellett of Spirit Guides Lake Charles. For Marcus, he's been intrigued by the paranormal since childhood, and his experiences have only fueled his desire to discover what lies beyond what we already know. And none of that is accurate for Amanda. They're actually longtime dance friends that she's kind of hitched on to his passion, and it's become kind of a little bit of her own. And now she kind of helps run and keeps him in line for their company there. So welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you. That was very accurate.
Thank you. Thank you.
a great welcome. So first, we like our audience to kind of better get to know you, our guest, and how you play in Louisiana's playground, because that's what we're all about here at the podcast. So the very first question, these are kind of rapid fire, and we'll do them for each of you. So crawfish or gumbo, Marcus?
Gumbo.
Crawfish.
Oh, already they're at odds.
I have a feeling that they will be split the entire way.
This is a possibility. Okay, let's see though. Poolside or beachside?
Oh, poolside.
Beachside. Oh. Okay. Okay. Two for two now.
Yep.
Concert or comedy show?
Comedy show.
Comedy show.
Oh, okay.
We're both kind of introverts, so
this is where they come together. Okay.
You should see the two of us at a concert. We're wallflowers.
Yes.
But comedy shows are where you can kind of let loose a little bit, escape.
Yeah, you get to sit back and enjoy it. Nobody sees you.
Okay, there you go.
So what about a paranormal comedy show where the ghosts are the headliner?
There you
go.
Like, we just did a paranormal magic show.
Okay, see, there is such a thing. There's a calling for that.
And not to get too off the rails, how did that work out? What was that process like?
So it was our season 4 launch party, and we had the Joker from New Orleans, who is phenomenal if you haven't heard of him, come in and do some magic tricks for the audience, and we had him do a magic trick with a ghost on stage. It was at 2 a.m. It was awesome.
That's awesome. That sounds really cool.
We live in a society, so.
That sounds very cool. All right.
So could you tell us a bit about Spirit Guides LC and how you explore the paranormal scenes?
We do a lot of investigations off of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So we get invited to places. So, for example, we got invited to Myrtle's Plantation, which is one of the most haunted places in the United States. Mm-hmm. And they asked us to come in and do an investigation and film it. We did. And that episode aired in season 3. And that again, word mm-hmm. of mouth. So people call us, they contact us, hey, we have an issue at our home and we'd like you to come check it out. And we do. And we, of course, we film it and we put it on TV. So does that kind of answer what you're asking?
Sure, sure.
Sure. Take me on the average, paranormal scene. What is it that you do when you go to one of these places like Myrtle's or you go try to talk to Tony Joe Henry, right? Like here in town. What happens next?
They just call her Tony.
TJ.
We're on first name basis.
Yeah.
So we, the first thing we do is we go to a location. Let's just say that we're at the courthouse and we're going to try and contact Tony Joe. So we went to the courthouse and we spoke with a lot of people who work there, who've had experiences, who are willing to talk. Not everybody wants to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But we converse with those people. We do a tour and see all the locations where she has been felt or seen or somebody heard something. And then we set up our equipment. So we'll set up our static cameras. We'll set up our nerve center and get everything, you know, we charge batteries and stuff like that all night, right? Mm-hmm. But we have all of that set up, and then usually what we'll do, because that's a lot of energy interaction, we're messing things around, and we're moving things, and we're setting cameras up in places that haven't been walked in a long time, and then we'll go and we'll eat our supper at whatever local restaurant somebody suggested,
mm-hmm.
and which tends to be Waffle House a lot for some reason.
Well, if you're at 2 a.m., the options are limited.
And so then we'll come back. And what that does is it gives the energy in the room or in the building time to calm down
mm-hmm.
and kind of relax a little bit. And then we'll come back and we'll begin our investigation. Usually we'll have what the term we've coined, guestigators. So we'll have a guestigator with us. So if you two were to come with us, you would be our guest investigators. So guestigators.
Okay.
And we would guide you through an investigation. Exactly. We would.
Brady just held up his
invisible.
I think I've got a clue.
It's
invisible,
found a clue.
Magnifying glass. But we would guide you through this. So we would give you our equipment and say, look, come with us. We're going to put you in this room. Do you mind staying by yourself for a while? And not always the case, but depending on the location, right? And we just kind of feel and see how the night goes, and we'll ask questions and wait for answers. So it's a patient game.
So okay, so this is something like Brady said when he was introducing you. This is something you've always believed in, had a passion in. You've always felt that calling. But Amanda, for you, you were maybe a skeptic. Still are? Where do you land?
I don't think I would say I was a skeptic. It's just I didn't believe or not believe. I had never been introduced to that type of thing. I had never really watched any type of paranormal movies. So it's just I didn't really have an experience with that. And but I saw an opportunity to help Marcus kind of manage mm-hmm. the things that he had going on already, which were fabulous and had great bone structure. And so now I was like, you know, maybe I could just come in and kind of help to smooth out some of the areas that I'm particularly mm-hmm. good at. And then he said, well, you're going to have to go on an investigation. I was like, okay. So my very first one was the Myrtles. And let's just say that believer or non-believer, it was evident that there is something else out there.
Yeah.
What happened to make you believe that?
It's really an energetic type of a thing. You know, you kind of get this feeling of something different. Like your nervous system kind of starts to shake a little mm-hmm. bit. Even like the way you smell kind of is like, I was like, oh, golly, my deodorant's kind of wearing off. You know, like it's just like a whole energy thing. And then towards the end of the investigation, I actually got to touch a ghost. It felt like static electricity in my fingertips. And that was a very surreal sort of experience.
Yeah. My knowledge of this is extremely limited to television and movies, right? Which is probably not exactly what it feels like in real life when you're there doing this. But do you get that? Is it the cold sensation? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do follow cold spots.
Mm-hmm.
They do present themselves. At our launch party, we did, for the first time ever, an overnight investigation after the launch party for a handful of special guests who arrived mm-hmm. early and brought donations for the women's shelter for us.
Oh, nice.
And we, in the projector room, there was a cold spot that was there almost the entire time. And it's very interesting because it's isolated to one spot. It's not like the AC kicked on and the room got cold. It's sure. isolated to one singular spot that moves, but it's still one singular spot that moves around. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and then to touch on Amanda touching a ghost, we actually have that on film.
The reaction.
Yeah. There. Well, we have what's called an SLS camera. It's a mm-hmm. structured light sensing camera. And it shows you, if I were to film you with it, it would show you as a stick figure.
Okay.
And so whenever we pick up a stick figure where there is nobody, that gives us an indication that it could be an entity there, right? And so we had her in the camera and this other stick figure like sat down next to her and it gave her a high five, if you will.
Okay.
And so it was like touching her hand. And she was saying that before I told her that, you know, it was like touching her, she was like, oh, my hand is tingly. It's like
you felt it before he ever said anything.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
So much of it is, you know, as you said, it's the separation between pop culture and reality, right? Through your experiences with paranormal activity, have you noticed, is there a thing moving, interacting with the real world besides the interacting with you feeling the cold spots? Have you noticed those things? Or for you, is it always trying to pull voices out through your machines, seeing, getting the feelings? What have you seen personally through those things?
So there's at the Axe Theater, which we'll probably talk a little bit about, but there is a lot of people who have seen chairs moving in there, mm-hmm. different chairs. And so that's pretty much like, we're not trying to draw anything out. I have literally just been sitting in there watching a show and two rows in front of me, there's two chairs that nobody else is on that row and they just start bouncing back and forth. So, you know, and we didn't prompt that at all. It was just, they're watching a play. And several people have seen that in that theater over and over again.
Wow. Well, speaking of Axe Theater, so, I mean, Lake Charles is one of those places that's pretty haunted, if you will. Is that the right terminology?
Yes, that is the right terminology.
Okay, so what are the places that you've seen some of the most activity in?
In Lake Charles, we did a top five countdown list video, and Axe Theater is number one. It's the most haunted location in Lake Charles that we personally have investigated.
Okay.
It has the most activity repeatedly. We get the most repeated or redundant answers. We've actually gotten several names in that location, Stephen being one of them, who is very prominent. Here recently, we picked up a nice lady named Lisa. But the courthouse is very haunted. Panorama Music House, if you like to go there, is very haunted. The Cajun Cafe is very haunted.
I'm haunted by their birria tacos every time I go.
The Panorama Music House. Yeah.
They haunt me because I'm like, look, I gotta go back. Sorry, wide open.
Cajun Cafe. Where's Cajun Cafe?
It's on Price Street. I won't go into details with the history and story of it because it's very long. But it's it used to be a brothel, and it's got a very great, albeit sad, but very great story. Mm-hmm. Behind it, that if you go and watch the episode, I think it was in season two.
I think it's season two, yeah.
Yeah, season two, we launched that episode and it we told the whole story and it kind of ties into Jack the Ripper. So it's very, very cool story. Yeah.
Well, I might have to go
watch
that one for sure.
Yeah.
So whenever you are dealing with someone who's like, no way.
The skeptic,
right? Because there've got to be tons of people that are like, no, not happening. It's fake. It's whatever.
So I, one of the guys that started this with me, Paul, is a skeptic.
Okay.
And I love having him with me because he keeps me honest. So skeptics struggle with the idea that it's possible. Mm-hmm. And they strive very hard to prove that what we saw or heard or whatever is logical and here's why. So it gives me a great sense of validation whenever they can't prove something mm-hmm. wrong.
Right.
Right. So I love having skeptics, especially on an investigation as a guestigator, because yeah. it gives me an opportunity to enlighten somebody, or I call it the light bulb moment. Whenever somebody's eyes, when they just get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that moment because it's me sharing something that I have a passion for with other people. I love that.
Big thought question. So many times these haunted locations are never, there's a family that lived here for 40 years and they were the happiest ever. And he eventually died and everything was happy. It's always crazy, sad, awful, murder, yada, yada stories. What is your theory, if you have one, of the spirits that you feel like are talking to you? Who are they? What are they? Is it always tied to a very negative, powerful emotions?
Is that why they're sticking around?
Right. Or do you have a theory of who it is? Or
it's not. They're not always negative. We have lots of happy ghosts. But just as like we have one guy on our team, his name is Roger, and he's very kind of engineer mindset and mm-hmm. scientific type. And he talks about time being something that, you know, and electricity is something that like comes in waves up and down, but time is the thing that actually makes the current happen. It makes it go forward. And he talks about whenever they die, time stops, but their electricity is still going up and down. But what happens when it doesn't have anything to propel it forward is it kind of moves in a circle. So they're just kind of stuck there in that time. So it doesn't mean that they're necessarily bad or good or that they have unfinished business. Sometimes it's just that they don't have a way to move forward, to move on. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of stuck in that loop.
Yeah,
that
you always hear it must be an unfinished business type thing, right? I always hear that.
My thought is whenever it's a tragic accident or any kind of a trauma involved in a death or in an event, that is in and of itself a force that entities are caught in, mm-hmm. call it a time loop, call it a whatever. But that's when you run into your negative hauntings that you were talking about usually. But I agree with Amanda 100% and Roger as well, that the time moves forward, and that there are absolutely both sides of that coin. There mm-hmm. are positive, yeah. non...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, non-meaning, mm-hmm. non-mean spirits. You know, they have no ill intention at all. They're just there, you know.
Well, somebody gave you a high five. They can't be too
bad. Right.
So have you encountered both?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so... I
was going to say, we've heard the cool high five, and now I'm going to have you about the not so nice one.
So
obviously, it's not common.
No, it's not. Actually, it's less common than you would think.
Okay.
Which is a good sign, right?
It's good. Sure.
But the one that really sticks out in my mind was not in Lake Charles, unfortunately. Fortunately.
Yeah,
we were in Yorktown, Texas.
Visit Lake Charles. We have nice guests. Right.
Exactly.
Come
exactly.
Where the
nice guests are. We were in a retired memorial hospital mm-hmm. that is abandoned, and it's one of the top 10, I think, haunted locations in the U.S. And it was run by the Felician Sisterhood of Nuns and all of this stuff and a lot of trauma because it's a hospital, right? And so anyway, I was in the chapel doing an exercise, and I don't recommend provoking, but occasionally I will whenever I feel like it's necessary. And so I was doing a small provocation, and I have a tattoo on my back, and I felt like somebody had a welding rod, if you know what that is, mm-hmm. And they stuck it on my neck and ran it all the way down my back. And it got really, really hot, really, really fast. And when I picked my shirt up, Josh, who was with me, filmed my back, and there was a small scratch through one of my tattoos. And we watched as a second one formed in the moment. And that was very, very painful and very much not something that I would recommend anybody do.
Oh, wow.
I never provoke.
Yeah, and yeah, when you say a small provocation, what does that look like? Something disruptive.
Hey, yo, any ghost in here?
Yeah, what does that look like?
Maybe saying things that, yeah. that, you know, impolite things or... Oh,
get kind of rude.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that maybe you wouldn't want to hear if somebody were
Come
talking
at
to
me,
you.
Come bro. Right?
Like, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Something like that.
Got it. Don't.
Only scared ghosts can scratch my back with my tattoo.
yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah, y'all ain't shaking this place?
Yeah, there you go.
Something like that? Or is
Marcus, look, take notes. If you haven't used these methods, you should really.
Hey, yo.
I'm writing.
You should use some of these. So what, I mean, I know that happened in Texas. Is there any particular story from here in Lake Charles that just kind of stands out as that one of the bigger moments in your experience?
Yeah. I have two, actually. Both at Axe Theater. Mm. So, Catherine Shea Duncan
mm-hmm.
went with us on an investigation that she was not aware she was going to be on.
Oh, she's one of ours here at Visit Lake Charles.
Yes.
So everyone knows.
And she's awesome. Yes. And so, at the beginning of the night, I asked the spirit, you know, if they could say her name, which they did not. And she was a little bit terrified. And as the night went on, she got a little bit braver and a little bit braver. And at the end of the night, I gave her an opportunity to ask a question. And she boldly said, "Can you say my name?" To which the box responded, "Catherine." And then she said, "Thank you," through fear. And the box then replied, "You're welcome."
Oh.
And that was a phenomenal, for me, that was a phenomenal evidence event. Because to get your name on a box, you know, mm-hmm. or a spirit box mm-hmm. is just awesome.
Let's talk about the equipment, because we've seen through, you know, different shows and stuff, different things that can pull, you know, the meters or whatever. Some have different things. What do you guys use?
We use all of it.
We use a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Marcus is really good about staying up to date with the things and making sure that we have the current equipment. But even some of our older equipment, which they don't even make anymore, is so good. They have one that's called the periscope. And so as the EMFs move around it, it would light up certain spots of this, you know, of the box. You can't really see my hands, but I'm moving them around. And then we have the spirit box, which is the box that says the names or says the things.
Yeah, what is that, and how does it work?
All it is a scanner. It scans radio stations, but it doesn't stop on a radio station that it picks up. So what we'll do is normally we'll put it on AM because there's less stations,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll put it in a reverse flow, so it will scan radio stations in reverse. And of course, we leave the antenna down because we don't want to pick up a radio station. And what this does is it creates a white noise, and entities can morph that white noise into a word,
mm-hmm.
or they can use that field to project their voice through the static. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So there's other ways that people have done it, like running water. The water splashing, they can actually use that white noise to make a voice. So when you're taking a shower, listen close.
baths for me from now on.
But there are other ways. So back in the day, they used to use a cassette recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to play white noise on the side and record that white noise. And then on the cassette, they could capture the recording. Digital recorders actually have their own internal built-in white noise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all internal. You don't have to play the white noise on the side anymore. And of course, as we evolve and we get better equipment and better technology, things change. But the S-Box or the Spirit Box, is that's the noise that you hear, that that's scanning radio stations.
Okay.
Is that kind of answer?
No, it does. I'm just trying to. So I guess that's where the belief that they are still electricity at the end of the day kind of comes through, and how they can then use things like radio waves.
Right, exactly. So that's what I was talking about, like the waves. You know, we use EMFs for everything. So that's all electromagnetic fields. Every piece of equipment that we have is, you know, electromagnetic fields. It's basically measuring it and projecting it in a different type of way. Mm-hmm. So
do you think maybe some ghosts just haven't figured out that they can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's definitely a learning curve. You can jump in right here. I'll let you
go ahead.
But yeah, and you can see them actually progress throughout the evening too. Mm-hmm. So whenever we start, we keep on going back to the Axe Theater because it is number one here. And also we were just there, but throughout the evening we had three separate groups in three separate locations. And when the groups would come together, they would all be, their stories would all be coinciding with one another from what they heard. So and then towards the end of the evening, the stories or the words that were coming up were more in depth. So as the evening goes on, they actually adapt and they can learn how to manipulate and use the electricity that's there also.
Right.
And we also use some things that are called EMF pumps. And so it puts electricity into the air to make it easier for them to manipulate and use. And you can add on to that.
And for some of them, you know, they died before we even knew electricity existed. Right. So they, you know, they don't even know how to even use
it. Takes them a minute.
But we're electricity, so.
Right. You know. But no, that's a valid point. Like we did a really very cool experiment with the Joker from New Orleans. We had him on stage at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, can you do a magic trick for a ghost or with a ghost? And he said, yeah, sure. So he wrote down a word, just to touch on your point. He wrote down a word on a piece of paper and he said, through the box, he said, can you tell me the word? And we got zero response. And whenever we started talking it out with the people that were with us, somebody said, well, you know, what if they didn't know how to read? Because they, you know, reading was not a skill everybody had in the 1920s. Sure. So valid point. So he drew a picture of a flower.
Okay.
Albeit a very bad picture of a flower. It was a picture of a flower.
He did not claim to be an artist.
And
we also did not know what he drew. The only person that knew was Marcus and him.
Yeah. And so the box said plant. And somebody in the audience, and I did not vocalize because I don't like to skew what people think, right? So I didn't know. I said, what'd you hear? What did you hear? And somebody said plant, and then it said tree. And somebody said tree in the audience, and then it said flower. And somebody said flower in the audience, right? And so it was in that order, plant, tree, flower. It's like it was trying to guess at what he had drawn. Because
it was that bad.
I could see it looking like a tree.
I can see how it could be.
Well,
they're just trying to think of the different, like maybe if they couldn't.
It's like playing charades. They're just calling out what they see.
Exactly. Or sometimes you don't always have the word for the thing that you can see right in front of you. So you're like, you know, it's like a bush. It's like a shrub. It's like it's like a tree. It grows on a tree, you know.
So that's the new thing to do is now try to play Pictionary with them and see if like
sure right here,
well
yeah.
so
he, if they're starting to respond once, why not try it twice?
So we did. So he pulls a card from the deck and he says, can you tell me what card I'm holding? And the box said three, which it was a three. And he said, no, don't tell me the value, tell me the suit. And so it said heart. And it was actually not a heart, it was a spade. And he said, well, if I turn it upside down, I could see where it's a heart. And then it said spade as he was saying that. Mm-hmm. And so a very awesome experience for me. This first time, I think in history, we think in history.
In our history.
That a magic trick was performed with a spirit. So
that's really
I think that was really cool. And it was in Lake Charles.
Okay, just an idea for the future. All right. Sorry. I'm over here trying to give ideas. So play Pictionary with them, right? Draw something and say, all right, I need you to tell me what this is. And then fog up a mirror for them and say, all right, it's your turn.
Do the whole you draw.
And see if you can.
It's your turn.
Yep.
He's writing it down.
I am writing.
He's
writing
it down. Okay. Yeah. Good job, Brady.
Thanks.
This might be your calling.
Okay. I'm kind of cheating. One of the spirits has been feeding me questions the entire time.
Is it Steven?
Pictionary.
But that would be a cool experiment, right?
Yeah, just to see like how do they do? Can they do it?
Yeah.
So you offer ghost tours, right?
So what we do, not yet.
Okay. Okay.
What we do is, as a guest to getter, like we explained earlier, right? Sure. So if you have a location that you would like us to or need us to investigate, you are absolutely going to be the guest to getter on that episode. Mm-hmm. We have a list of people who want to go on as a guest to getter, and we draw from that list from the top down as we get locations that we don't have somebody as a guest to getter already. Mm-hmm. Next year, we're working with somebody mm-hmm. to have a location that we will do ghost tours for the month of October only.
Okay.
And we will do, it's not really a tour, it's an investigation. And we invite you to come on as this investigation, as a guest gator on this investigation. And we're working on logistics and pricing and who's going to do it and all these things. But for the month of October next year, there will be several dates that offer as a, and I think we've already decided 10 people is our max mm-hmm. for the night. Right. So get them quick, get them early whenever they come out because it's going to sell out quick.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Right. That's exactly. Really exciting. Yeah. We just did a pilot test run with this after our launch party where we did about 27 to mm-hmm. 30 people. It went very well.
Very well.
And we had a lot of activity, and everybody left there, you know, reeling with excitement and wanting to do this again. So, a very positive feedback.
Speaking of season four, what's upcoming?
So, in season four, we got to talk to one of our city's founders, Mr. John Jacob Ryan. Mm-hmm. And if you know where he's buried, then you know where we were. Mm-hmm. And if not, then you'll have to wait until that episode comes out and check it out. But we also did a really cool house with a good friend of mine, Grant Navarre. Mm-hmm. We did a very cool house on Pine Street that was Roger's first investigation. Mm-hmm. And we aired that episode at our launch party the other night, and it was very well received. We're excited about that episode to start the season. It's really good. Yeah. And then we made our way over to Natchez, Mississippi, and checked out a cool jail. And we've been
probably going to even see something from right down the road from Lacassine, maybe in season four.
Yeah. Okay.
So
and maybe a place in Sulphur.
Yep. Maybe a nice central location in Sulphur where a lot of activities and art shows go on.
Oh,
it's very centrally located.
Mm-hmm. Very centrally located. Yes.
What are the biggest misconceptions about ghosts or spirits? I'm not sure, once again, the PC term for the paranormal entities and kind of the afterlife that you've maybe learned through your time investigating.
I mean, I know one of the biggest misconceptions is that we do not hunt ghosts. We investigate paranormal activities. So
hunting would require capturing.
You're not out to get them.
Right.
Yeah. This isn't Ghostbusters.
Out to get them. Yeah. So we're not. I know a lot of people will say ghost hunting, but we're not ghost hunting. We're investigating to see.
I guess some people out there are trying to help them. Like you were talking about, their energy is just kind of stuck, right?
Right,
their electricity is not moving forward. So I think a lot of people are in some, again, movies that I've seen, they're trying to help
them
get to the other side.
Right. So a misconception might be that they have some unfinished business. That might be a misconception. Yeah. Whereas it not necessarily might be unfinished. They might just not be able to move forward. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're like, gosh, doggone, I didn't get to do this thing and now I have to stay here to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like they left their body and it all happened so quickly and so fast that they're kind of like, oh, I missed the opportunity, you know, like I don't understand or I don't know how to move forward. And so that's kind of just like us too, like humans in our regular lives, mm-hmm. where you're kind of like stuck in this pattern of repeating the same process over and over again. And sometimes it just takes somebody to snap you out of it and be like, stop doing that and move forward. All you have to do is pick yourself up and go.
And maybe just talking to them
in
this
and
way.
And we can do that. So sometimes we'll ask them things like that, like, do you want to move forward? Sometimes it's very clear that they're just having a good time where they are. I mean, mm-hmm. is that fair to say? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes they just kind of like hanging out, you know. So that is probably a misconception, that they're at unfinished business, whereas sometimes it's just a lack of understanding.
Do you get the kind of requests from people who want to speak to those that are maybe still lingering around, or they're hoping to speak to someone, maybe like a lost loved one or something like that.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of people who want to mm-hmm. just experience like my grandmother passed away. I want to speak to my grandfather. I want to speak to, there's something in my house I want to talk to. And so, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
You know, people do move on. People do want to not be stuck in the spirit realm, and they just go, you know. And can you bring them back and talk to them? For sure, yeah. But they're not here all the time, you know. So everybody and everybody wants it to be, for some reason, everybody wants it to be a negative energy. I have a ghost in my house. I have this demonic presence in my house, and not everything is demonic, not everything is negative, not everything is out to get you. So most of the time they're here, and they are still walking through the house that they walked through in 1897 that was built this way, that has been redesigned, and
they're frustrated
mm-hmm. because there's a wall here that wasn't there, and they go through the wall because it wasn't there, it was a door. So, you know, it's not everything is out to get you. That's, you know.
What kind of be a misconception?
Talk to me. Remodel.
Put it back the way it was.
That could be interesting.
Or, you know, sounds in the kitchen. Like, it might have been somebody who cooked in that kitchen all the time. And so here they are still cooking. They're just kind of here doing what they've always
going
done.
So is it a time is circle? So they're repeating the actions of what they did. So what you're doing is that you're grabbing a moment in time. And so they're not actually here today. They were here 100 years ago. Is that kind of the thought process?
Similar to that, yeah.
So in fact, the spirit isn't here. It was here.
So that's more like what you would call a residual haunting.
Right.
Which is just like a... you ever record anything on a VCR tape and then you record over that and you can kind of see that play in the background occasionally? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what that is. So that timestamp is still there, and it's just looped in, and it's a residual energy that's just left over from time, and it just plays over again. You know, we have what's called a death loop also. You know, it's the same thing. It's just... this energy, however it passed away, this energy is just recorded in that place where it died or how it died or whatever, that is recorded and plays over again. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. And what, I guess, to wrap up a little bit, but what do you feel like is the benefit of going out and doing these investigations, learning more about this other realm, if you will? How does that help?
I'll start, and then
how does that help everyone?
Yeah, I'll start, and I'll let Marcus finish up. But sometimes it just helps to know, first of all, that maybe you're not crazy. Maybe that we can help you see physical evidence of a mental, you know, concept that you're feeling, or an energy that you're feeling, that you're like, oh, well, I'm not crazy. There is actual evidence to back up that thing. And it's peace of mind sometimes whenever, because we do automatically tend to go to the negative to say that this is something that is after me specific, and it's not, it's just there. And so it helps for us to come in there and say, actually, it doesn't feel or seem negative in any type of way. And then also sometimes we can give you some tips and tricks to kind of help block some of that energy if you're interested in doing that. So because it's all about you and what you allow in or out. And then I'll let you kind of wrap up.
For me personally, the benefit for me is validation and education.
Yeah.
So when I I've been doing this my entire life. When I was a child, I saw a lot of things that weren't necessarily there, and so and it terrified me as a kid. You know, your parents tell you there's nothing under the bed or there's nothing in the closet, and there is. And so for me, if I can help somebody not be afraid, or if I can educate somebody on what, as Amanda said, what they can do to kind of alleviate the situation, then that's that for me is a benefit. But also, it's a benefit for me to learn about what is or is not after this life, right? Yeah. Because the big question is, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from here? And so to kind of build on that question, and I feel like we do that fairly well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think, you know, and we, yes, we shoot a show, so it's nothing on our show is faked, but we present our evidence in a way that this is how it's presented to us. But mm-hmm. but we also have to make it a little bit entertaining. So our history portion of our show is all about, you know, true history. This is what happened. This is how it was. And we tell it in a way, or we try to tell it in a way that intrigues people and sure. invites them to come and join our journey.
Sure.
So
makes a connection. It makes a connection for people in and outside of this realm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, look, I think I'm skeptical, right? Just because, again, like you were, you never really experienced it yourself.
That
right?
means you got to come with
That's
us.
That's right.
I am so excited. I hope that I'm one of those people next October that gets to come along on this journey, because I think this is really exciting. Brady may or may not be
You might
there.
Have to come a little sooner than that so that we can get back on here before next October.
There you go.
So you can help okay. explain well, your experience.
I do. I feel like I want to know more. I don't necessarily, I've never had an experience like that before.
The truth is out there.
But let's, good job. But you know, I'm really excited about the opportunity and the fact that you're doing this next year, especially, is I think really exciting for people. Season 4 coming out. Where can they watch the show?
So we are on YouTube. We're also picked up by a couple of networks, Things Network and Parallax Network. But the easiest way to watch us is going to be on YouTube. If you search Spirit Guides LC, and that's all one word, you'll bring us right to our channel and just pick a season.
And then if someone has a paranormal activity worth investigating, how do they reach out?
So for that, then they would reach us on Facebook. That's the best, quickest, easiest way. We also have an Instagram, but Facebook is where we spend a lot more of our mm-hmm. Activity time. And also on the YouTube, just to say that we have little fun things, little shorts and little where we talk about different equipment. We also have some Spirit Minutes where we talk about our own personal experiences and little short clips. So you can get little bursts of kind sure. of information and just, you know, entertainment there too. So, and Facebook is where you would reach us for all of our events that we're going to do or have done. And then to investigate for you. And, cool. and just to say that we're very, philanthropically kind of, you know, entwined mm-hmm. into the community. So we do a lot of work where everything that we're doing is trying to also push back into the community. So sure. to bring awareness to the places here, both Marcus and I, you know, are involved in some nonprofit organization and charities. And we, you know, we yeah. like to reach out and do whatever we can. So whenever we did our season 4 launch party, we donated to the Oasis. And whenever I got there, the lady thought we had, you know, clothes and things like that, things that they kind of typically get. And whenever mm-hmm. I told her we had a lot of paper goods, paper towels, diapers, things like that, her face just completely lit up. So they're in need of stuff like that. You can always reach out to us if you have something and we can help, you know, help make that work for you.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Thanks again to Marcus and Amanda for joining us here on the show. But the biggest thank you that I can give out goes to you for taking time out of your day to join us on the podcast. If you had joined the show, you know the drill. Please follow the podcast, leave us a rating or review. And in fact, I'd like to challenge you. Can you please leave us a comment of your favorite place to get fried chicken in town?
Ooh.
On our YouTube, go to our YouTube channel okay. With our video. Leave us the favorite place to get fried chicken. I promise you I will write back and probably tell you how good that fried chicken is, because I do love fried chicken.
And of course, in addition to fun comments that we'd love to be able to respond to, ratings and reviews help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. So go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Quarter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.